Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks podcast, the independent soccer show bringing you opinionated English Premier League analysis. Here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
You are listening to the Two Daft Yanks podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith. Greetings to you wherever you may be. And this is the part of the show where I bring in my co-host, Mr. Corey Chatelain.
Yeah, no shadows of the stone mountains this time, but yeah, the soon-to-be free of journos on Twitter, Corey Chatelain. Yeah, running them all off, unfollowing them all. Yeah,
I will cheer for that. Except there's some good ones, the ones we have in our show, of course, like Bobby, Scott Nichols.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'll be almost journo free. Soon.
But the rest of them, they're like lawyers and tax collectors, I guess. Don't need them. Don't want them.
Or they just become tiresome where they hop back and forth on a topic. So, you know, it's boring. So I unfollowed them.
All right. Well, hopefully Corey will have a less dull timeline now, thanks to you folks. So you could follow us on Twitter at @2daftyanks. Corey, we don't do this often. Your Twitter handle, sir, your personal one?
LSU Arsenal Corey.
There we go. And you can find me, Chadwicks22. And, of course, you could go to 2dapyanks.com if you didn't catch that. Go to our About page, and we have buttons there where you can follow us individually. So if you like that. And obviously, Corey's tweeting tends a little bit Arsenal biased, and mine Spurs, so keep that in consideration as well.
Yeah, although I tweet a lot about music and beer, so.
That's true.
And New Orleans stuff.
Yeah, and I tweet about anything and everything, just loads of rubbish. So, all right, let's get the crowd fired up, Corey, and let's cheer the end of the international break and the return of club football. Let's bend international football, please. Bend it.
I watched more than I normally do, but yeah, I still wouldn't miss it if it was bend.
All right. So let's go around the grounds here. This is what we're calling this week's show. Corey, you know, like the whip around action that they always do. We're going around the grounds, but we don't have Neil Ashton to give us, you know, made up nonsense that he prints.
Yes, Paul is nicking a living.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's start. We'll just go in chronological order here to be non-biased. And I'm burning up the schedule. And, of course, the weekend started off with the Manchester Derby, which featured Pep versus Jose, as you all know. Your final score, Manchester City 2, Manchester United 1 at Old Trafford. Any quick thoughts there? And then I'll make some observations of my own.
If Mourinho is Wenger's daddy, then Pep is apparently Mourinho's daddy.
Okay, well said. And that's where I really want to focus the discussion of this game, is on the reaction, the post-game reaction of both managers. You saw really the difference between the two. Mourinho comes out and basically blames his players for the loss, especially I guess you'd have to say Mkhitaryan and Lingard, who he started in kind of an odd way. Lingard on the left, Mkhitaryan on the right. And basically he said, no, I didn't see this, but I heard people say that in an interview with the British media, he said that his players bottled it, direct quote. And then in the American interview that we saw here, he was basically talking about their mentality, saying they don't have the skill level or the mentality to play in such a high-profile fixture. He didn't blame himself, saying, I shouldn't have picked them. He just blamed the players, which is not surprising at all. So your thoughts on Mourinho, and I don't know if you heard any of those comments.
I kind of did, but I mean, what else is there to say, Mourinho? I mean, this is like, you know, like you said in your intro there, this is pretty much standard for him. It's never his fault. he never or rarely takes the onus, and when he does, it's almost sarcastic in nature anyway, and or you know, it's that one where he's kind of mocking himself, but you know, in the terms of subtly taking the piss out of the other team or the refs or whatever, or you know, a female physio or whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say. Because like I said, it's standard behavior for him. It's well documented that I don't like him, that, you know, he's the perfect example of kind of like Nick Saban in college football, that the only reason people even put up with him is because he's successful. But, you know, he's the perfect example of success kind of sweeps away him being a complete and utter asshole.
Okay, and I forgot to add this. Let's ring the bell for another Zlatan goal.
Oh, yeah, okay.
One closer to 20. It's going to get there, I'm convinced.
Okay.
Get to those 20 goals. So as we said, we'll count it down. So another Zlatan goal. And then the reaction of Pep I thought was very interesting. Obviously, he was a lot more positive. But what really stuck out to me was they asked him about his new keeper, Claudio Bravo from Barcelona, who obviously, you know, just came in, wasn't really cohesive, wasn't communicating with his back line, had a blunder that led to a goal, had a couple more that could have led to goals. And they asked him, well, yeah, he was a little, you know, unsure of himself there. What do you think about his performance? And Pep said, oh, he had a brilliant performance. One of the best performances I've ever seen by a goalkeeper. Now, again, he's the anti-Mourinho, to where he easily could have said, oh, he's got to do better, I expect more of him. But no, he tries to build confidence in his players instead of ripping them down.
Well, yeah, because there again, something that I always kind of pay attention to, not just in sports, but everyday life. And, you know, some of you younger people out there, y'all can take this as a piece of advice too. Watch when after the results, or when something goes down, or dishonest people or people like Mourinho, even when they're successful, you can tell that they're still not good people. When they're successful, they'll say, we did this, we did that, we played better, whatever. As soon as something goes wrong, it's other people. People like Pep or honest people, successful or failure, you always use the plural, we, us, etc. So that's the thing for me with people like Mourinho, Saban, and all these other people, you know, even Bobby Knight to a certain extent, as much as I liked him growing up, you know, like I said, there's a lot of these coaches, it's we when we're successful, and then when they break down, well, they didn't do this, you know, or I put the plan in that they didn't implement, et cetera, or, you know, they throw the players under the bus. And like I said, it's one of those that if it were any other endeavor other than sports, you know, they'd probably be canned, or, you know, they would alienate themselves just because they're, you know, a bunch of schmucks. Kind of like me on Twitter sometimes, but, you know, I'm acerbic, and next thing I wake up the next day and I got 4 more followers. I don't understand that shit.
All right, just as a reminder here, Manchester City, with their win, is now on top of the table, 12 points, 4-4 for Pep so far, and a +7 goal differential already through 4 games. So there you go for Manchester City. All right, now that was a long segment on purpose. Let's do a couple shorter ones here, just some quick little one-liners, Corey. Bournemouth hosted West Brom, got a 1-0 win. And the highlight to me is, did you see the goal, the back heel goal by the returning Callum Wilson?
I did not.
It was a very good goal. You should look it up. And if you haven't seen it out there, see his back heel flick that he scored on. Very well executed. And then the other talking point in the Bournemouth match is Jack Wilshere making his Bournemouth debut off the bench.
Yeah, which, of course, people were surprised why he didn't start, but, you know, people rarely drop in or that's one of those cases, not rarely, but it's one of those cases that it happens a lot more often than people think, that you don't just drop somebody. A lot of managers just don't drop people into the lineup just because of their name or, you know, where they come from, whatever.
Yes, and they asked, good Lord.
Especially coming off of a international break like that, Eddie Howe.
Yes, they asked Eddie Howe, a.k.a. Johnny Quest, why he didn't start, and he basically said because of fitness issues. He wasn't sure if he could, you know, go 70, 80 minutes, so he thought he'd get a better impact off the bench. And I'd imagine probably within 2 or 3 weeks he'll be starting once he builds up some fitness.
Yeah, and that's, you know, because again, and I'm sure he means match fitness there, and not just fitness, because that's, you know, there again, it's two different things. Being fit and being match fit are two different things, and especially coming off of a international break and a long term injury, he's probably not match fit, you know, at all, much less, you know, ready to. Excuse me, ready to start right away.
Correct. All right, moving on. Arsenal 2, Southampton 1 at the library, as they like to call it. No, that's not true. But Arsenal got a late penalty, Corey, in stoppage time.
And yeah, late dodgy penalty. More of it, yeah. Please.
And I did see it. And again, I don't know, I guess under these new guidelines, I mean, he had a handful of Giroud's shirt, but did Giroud have a handful of the defender's shirt as well? I guess. What is your view on that?
He probably did, but, you know, tough shit.
So but I guess the question is, right, a lot of the times you say a penalty is a penalty, no matter if it happens in the first minute or the 92nd minute. So I guess under these new guidelines, this referee was just being consistent. I don't know. I don't really have a problem with the penalty once I saw it.
Yeah, and there again, it's not a coincidence that it's called, or the penalty is the kind that there's an emphasis at the beginning of the season on. So, you know, of course, I mean, I was asking for it. To me, it looked obvious from real time. And, you know, there again, you could also make the argument that both players are grabbing the shirt. But if the defender holds on the shirt longer, well, guess what? That's more of a foul than the other one. So, ergo, we should have the penalty.
But at the same time, I'll say if it's the other way around and Southampton's getting held, it probably doesn't get called. So that's the kind of the problem we have.
Well, yeah, no. And there again, if Arsenal's on the road, they probably don't get the call either. So
perhaps. Yeah, hard to say. But, yeah, so there you go. So Arsenal gets a win. A grind-out victory, which Arsenal needs to do more of to be able to compete at the top highest level, especially early here in the season while they're still finding their way through some injuries and some fitness issues.
Well, yeah, because the thing that kind of cracks me up about that whole penalty decision is that it just goes to show you, because there's an emphasis on it and because penalties are more controversial, the media is barely even talking about that. We kept playing on with Shane Long being down, because I was actually hoping we'd scored when that little shit was on the ground.
Yeah, I saw that, and he, you know, you got to get up, right? You're not hurting, you're not helping your team by rolling around on the ground for 2 minutes.
Well, and that's something I've been complaining about for 2 years. You know, when they started that whole, you don't have to play the ball out, let the ref deal with it. So quit being freaking nice. Play on. If he wants to stay on the ground, stay on the ground. And then, of course, Koscielny's down with a head injury. So supposedly, you know, like I said, if people really want to complain, that's where the ref should have stopped the play, is because Koscielny was down with a head injury. So, you know, like I said, I was glad we kind of stuck it to him, because, you know, it's about time we get some freaking luck like that.
All right, next up, Hull City traveled to Burnley and snuck out with a 1-1 draw. Burnley new man Stephen DeFore scored a pretty nice goal, and then Snodgrass late on a free kick. And I guess the highlight here to me is Hull City, looking at their lineup, you might want to look at it too, and maybe you already have. It didn't look like to me they played any of their new guys that they just brought in the window. So they went with an unchanged team. of the current players. So none of the guys that they brought in featured.
Yeah, and I think that's a, you know, Mike Phelan being kind of an older coach, that's something that used to happen all the time, that if you get results, you don't really change your lineup, or, you know, you only, even if you buy players, you only change your lineup once results start to go south. So, you know, coaches like their consistency. So I think he just played that lineup because they had gotten the results already. So even though he had back, or, you know, even though they brought in reinforcements, he just went with the consistency.
There you go. All righty, next up, sir. Middlesbrough fell at home to Crystal Palace. And what we saw was a debut goal by Ben Tekkers.
Yeah, it was a pretty nice header.
Off the assist of Zaha, who was rumored to be leaving, but then Crystal Palace said, "You ain't leaving." And so he delivered a nice, pretty good cross to the far post to set up Ben Tekkers.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Benteke didn't have a good time at Liverpool, and of course when he scored the goal, everybody was saying, oh, well, if Liverpool would have gave him better service like that, he would have scored more goals. Well, yeah, that's how it works. He put in a good cross, the striker puts it home, you know. I mean, but there again, obviously, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have every one of them for Christmas. So you can't defend the perfect cross, but if they were all perfect, they would always score.
You telling me that he's getting better service at Crystal Palace than he did at Liverpool?
On that play he did, but
yeah,
but there again,
that's
the issue, isn't it? I mean, better teams execute more often than those that don't.
And obviously in Klopp style and even Rodgers style, they played with the ball on the ground. So it doesn't really suit a guy like Benteke, and it shouldn't be a surprise because we all said it, right? Like, it makes no sense to bring a player of his type into that system.
Well, yeah, and, you know, of course everybody is going to be quiet on the service at Palace if Benteke only ends up with 8 goals, so.
Well, it'd still be more goals than he scored for Liverpool. But anyway. Well,
but it'll be less goals than Sturridge scores if he stays healthy, so.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll get into that. Trust me, we're going to get into that. Okay, next up here in the chronological order. And this is Spurs did it again. They went up to Stoke and smashed them. I think last year was 4-1. This year they did it better, 4-0. Son with a brace. And then the highlight here, Corey, is for the first time a manager got sent off for the new conduct rules in Mark Hughes.
Interesting. I hadn't seen that because that was the highlight of the match for me. Was I didn't see 1 second of the damn thing.
Okay, well, he cursed after he got sent off. I thought he got sent off for cursing at the fourth official, which, you know, supposedly is a no-no. Mm-hmm. But he was already sent off at that point. What he did is he got sent off for aggressively leaving his technical area to talk to the fourth official. And so that's the new rules. You got to stay in your technical area. And if you make aggressive movements towards the ref, you're out. And so, of course, he tried to fire up the crowd, and it had the reverse effect. After his sending off, Stoke crumbled. But here's the big thing I want to talk about, and this is kind of new. We've talked about this before. When an manager gets sent off, you know, he goes up to the top, usually like in the chairman's box or whatever, and he's got his little transistor radio, and they're talking down there. But apparently they took his radio away and said, if you get sent off, you can't communicate with the box against the rules. So I don't know if that was just that official saying that you can't do that or if that's a new directive, which makes sense, right? And what sport can you get sent off and then still radio down? It doesn't really make any sense. Now, I think they should go a step further like they do in American sports. You get sent off, you're gone. You can't have any contact. They still allowed him to tell a person in the box to go down to the manager's area to instruct what he wanted to be done, which I still think is against the spirit of the rule. But that's just me. Do you agree?
Yeah, well, I thought, because Wenger was up in the box too, because I thought it used to be you had to leave the entire or it should be where you have to leave, you know, the entire playing area, or you have to, you know, just like a player who's sent off, he should go sit in the freaking locker room.
Yeah, and that's what you do in American sports. I guess the biggest one is baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get sent off, you go to the clubhouse.
And then that's Bobby Valentine with the super spy mustachio.
Yeah. I knew I was going to mention that, so I knew you would. Yeah. But so we'll see. And again, I don't know. What is that rule? Is it in the rule book? Is it a league issue? I think you should be gone. They should take you from the stadium, as far as I'm concerned, so you can't communicate at all. But whatever. So there you go. So Spurs got another big win up north. Mark Hughes is the first victim of managerial conduct rules. Good job. But fair play to him. In his post-match interview, he did say he deserved to be sent off. And he apologized to the officials and the fans for getting sent off. So I guess he's a stand-up man.
Yeah, well, you know, he was feisty as a player, so, you know, sometimes when you're a manager, you know, you do the 180, but I guess, you know, Hughes is going to elbow his way to managerial success, too, at some point. But
there we go. All right, here's a very interesting match over the weekend where West Ham just absolutely got obliterated at the London Stadium 4-2 by Watford. The skill highlight is, did you see this Rabona assist by Payet?
No, I did not.
Oh, my goodness. You need to look that up. Unbelievable skill. A Rabona goal is impressive, but the assist is even better because you know how hard it is to deliver an accurate cross doing Rabona style? Pretty difficult, as you can imagine. Think about it in your head.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
You haven't seen it.
They lost, though.
Well, so. They did. They did lose. And so their loss caused so much distress upon their fans, Corey.
Yeah, apparently there were kids crying and boo-hooing and distraught.
Yeah, but for the second time that I know of, and it may have happened more, but I know there was a brawl among West Ham fans fighting each other for the second time this year, which has resulted in numerous fans giving lifetime bans from the stadium. So they have a brand new stadium, hasn't been open a month, and they've already had two incidents where people are getting banned for life. Not for fighting other fans, but for fighting each other. Now, how daft is that? That's your unofficial This Week in Daftness, is West Ham fans fighting each other.
Yeah, that's like the two Newcastle players that got sent off for fighting each other way back in the day, or I think Graham Lasso at Blackburn got sent off one time for attacking his own player or something. But yeah, so that's, you know, I guess they're just practicing just in case Millwall ever makes it back up to the Premier League and they had that really contentious East London derby. But yeah, that's obviously it's not something you want when you're trying to, or, you know, when there's questions about filling a new stadium. You know, obviously having literal infighting amongst the fans is not a good thing going forward, you know.
Gypsy on gypsy hooliganism.
Yeah, well, or maybe West Ham's going to be down with the cardboard cutout brigade like we were talking about a few weeks ago.
With La Liga, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna have to borrow that cardboard cutout brigade from you, mate, so we can fill up the stands.
Yeah, that's true, because everybody's going to be banned for life. It's going to cut into those season ticket sales.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, so I didn't hear about the fighting. I just heard about somebody was tweeting that apparently there was a bunch of kids that were crying and distraught because they lost
opener. I think I saw.
Or the home opener or something.
I was watching something, and they showed, like, some little girl crying. It might have been that match. I was like, why are you crying? I guess losing to Watford is really wow, I don't know.
Yeah,
or maybe her dad got sent to jail for fighting, you know, the guy next to him. Maybe that's why she was crying.
Well, it's England. You get out, you know, you're probably out like in 2 hours, right, for fighting?
Maybe. That's true. I mean, they do have those in-stadium jails.
Oh, do they? See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you've never heard about that? Yeah, a lot of the stadiums in Europe do.
Oh yeah, well then they're not going to hold you longer than a few hours because all them stadium people want to go home.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We don't want to talk about West Ham and their violent ways. Their violence is not acceptable. Next, all right, and this just shows what a difference a year makes, right? I don't know if you want to do some on-air research, but the reverse fixture this last year, I don't remember, but Leicester City traveled to Liverpool and got trounced 4-1, including a Liverpool lineup that included Lucas playing center back. That's how bare bones they are at that position, that they're playing Lucas there.
Yeah, but he's already a deep line midfielder anyway, so it's, you know, it's not like it's that difficult.
Yeah, but and then of course on Match of the Day and everywhere, everybody's going gaga over Daniel Sturridge. He's world class again because he's healthy. World class.
Yeah, well, I mean, he does have an incredible strike rate throughout his career. Unfortunately, you know, he ends up only playing about 18 to 20 games at most a year.
Yeah, so my question is, how soon does he have an injury to where we don't see him until 2017?
Oh, until 2017.
Yeah, the meaning that he's out until, you know, January or February.
Yeah, when's the next international break? Is it next month?
Yeah, probably like early November, I think.
Yeah, so he'll have a hat trick in one of his upcoming matches, so Roy will pick him, and he'll pull something in the England match.
Oh, you know how funny that would be if he got injured on international duty? That would be peak Daniel Sturridge.
Yeah, so, you know, that would be my guess.
Okay, so I know you're doing the on-air research. I hear you clicking away.
Yeah, it's the, let's see, Leicester. Okay, that was the game at Leicester.
Yeah, we need the game at Anfield, which I guess was, I don't know if it was the first time they opened up the new stand, but they were really talking about it this week. The new stand.
Well, I had to laugh because whoever the announcer was referred to it, I think, on multiple occasions as the new Anfield. It's like, no.
The
it's,
new Anfield?
No, nice. It's just expanded. It's a new stand, dude. It's not a new stadium.
They added, like, what? I don't even know, like 10 or 15,000 seats, and it's a new stadium.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it went from 45 or whatever it was to 54,000, I thought.
Okay, yeah. So 10 to 15,000 new seats.
Why is this so hard to find?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, there we go. Liverpool won 1-1.
Okay, so it's
so
okay,
yeah. Liverpool was the only other team to beat them last year,
besides Arsenal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go. Well, it happened again.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops, it happened again. Britney Spears, the official spokesperson of the Liverpool Leicester match, but. Yeah, so we'll see. And, of course, Champions League cranks up this week, and so we'll get to see the debut of Leicester City in the Champions League, and they do play – I know they're playing Bruges, and I do believe it is away. So they'll be in Bruges. Play Bruges.
Bruges, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, well, obviously we'll see, you know, with the extra fixture load if they can handle it, because that's everybody – ourselves included, is pretty much predicting that that's what's going to happen, that they're going to – or, you know, that's going to be one of the things that does them in this year is the extra fixture load.
Which is fine because if I was a fan of theirs, I'd say, hey, it doesn't matter because we still won a title last year, right?
Yep.
I mean
– yep, to crash out of the Champions League, you got to get there.
Yep, that's true.
You know?
Just ask Man City. They know about that.
That's right.
Quite a bit.
And Arsenal. Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about this one at length here in a cracking match, I guess. I don't know. It was at times. It kind of had to start slow. But Swansea City 2, Chelsea 2, and Diego Costa, Corey, makes it 3-for-3 with game-saving goals now, 2-to-win, 1-to-tie, in a situation where he arguably should have been sent off. Your thoughts?
Well, there's no arguable about it to me. But, you know.
Well, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Why, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm taking the benefit of the doubt away.
Okay, that's fine. That's okay. I just don't want Jim to attack me.
Yeah, that's true. You got to live in the same city with him. But yeah, I mean, he should have been sent off. Or we should just, you know, get it out the way and just make it hand him a compulsory yellow card right off the bat in the next match and just get it out the way.
There we go.
And that way he can score, you know, with reckless abandon.
Yeah. And I will say, I'm borrowing this from another radio show that I heard today talking about the NFL, but it applies here. They were talking about another situation of people who play, you know, on the edge. Mm-hmm. And they brought up the Dave Chappelle show, which is always a good reference. And you remember when I think Charlie Murphy is talking about Rick James?
Yes.
And he called him a habitual line stepper. Yeah. That is Diego Costa. He's a habitual line stepper.
Yeah, well, he's definitely, you know, the kid on the playground that pokes you. And as soon as you fight back, that's when the teacher looks over and you're the one who gets in trouble.
Exactly. It's always the person who retaliates who gets in trouble.
But yeah, with him, it's like, you know, retaliating. That's what's so hard about him, though, is that he's such a pest that even if you let something go, it's going to be 8 or 9 times, you know. So ignoring somebody once or twice, that's pretty easy to do. Ignoring somebody for 90 minutes after 8 or 9 incidents, especially when he, you know, likes to create the incidents, when he himself likes to retaliate for the incidents, you know, that's very difficult. But I like the one that somebody on my timeline tweeted, what makes it hilarious about Diego Costa is normally players with reputations don't get away with much. He seems to get away with stuff every week.
Exactly. And I will mention this because it all ties in. Is that next week, Spurs will be welcoming back Moussa Dembélé, who will be ending his 6-game violent conduct ban for gouging Diego Costa's eye. So remember, Dembélé got 6 games, but Costa hasn't been suspended yet. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, which, you know what that secretly means, right?
I have no clue. Tell me.
Diego Costa is apparently English.
Oh, maybe he is. Yeah, he's not a dirty foreigner.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's Danny Coates or something, but
he's,
yeah,
the offensive John Terry.
Yeah, because, well, and that's what I was going to say. So, like Terry gets and Rooney that get away with so much stuff with, you know, cursing the ref out and all this other stuff, or, you know, they get lighter suspensions off the field than they probably should. So, that's the only thing that I can come up with is that Diego Costa is secretly English.
Okay, so that was a good result for Swansea, I guess, coming back from that position. But another thing here. You don't see this very often to where a manager will admit to a mistake, and that's exactly what Gidoing did for Swansea. As you all know by now, that he took off, was it Neil Taylor? Is that his name? Neil Taylor. Yes. He took off Neil Taylor 4 minutes before halftime in a change of shape because they were getting absolutely battered. And then after the game, he said, you know, I probably should have waited till halftime. But he's like, I thought that we needed to make a change, and him and Taylor had an altercation to where he tried to congratulate him and say, hey, and he got yelled at. But he said if he had to do it again, he'd have waited until halftime. Your thoughts on the move? Because the move turned out to be positive because they bounced back after it, but he still felt the need to apologize to Taylor.
Well, yeah, I think that what happened is the way it should have played out. I mean, he's the manager. He's in charge. The player can bitch all he wants. And that's, you know, it's kind of like me on Twitter sometimes. It's like, I don't understand why people take some reactions or interactions so seriously sometimes because it's, you know, it's in the moment. And, you know, like I said, in this case, he's in a position of authority. The player can bitch all he wants. You know, he made the decision. And, you know, because there again, he doesn't make the decision, or you know, he doesn't make the change, and maybe they score before halftime, and now, you know, Taylor's happy, but now they're down further than they were. So, you know, as much as people like to talk about making tactical changes if he felt like he needed to change it. Like I said, I don't personally have an issue with it because, like I said, I'm the kind of person, you know, if I'm the manager, the player can yell at me all he wants. I don't give a shit. You know, I mean, like I said, he's the one who made the change. The player can bitch and moan all he wants.
Yeah. And so I see both sides. So he really got the best of both worlds. And that was the big point that NBC made. It was either Robbie Musto or Kyle Martino. I forget who, but they made a good point saying he did that because he nipped the situation in the bud, right? He could have let it festered, but he made the move. It was the right move to make at the time. They came back. They got a point, that's a good thing. So that move right there got them a point. And then he apologizes, which you would think would be good for his and the player's relationship. So it's a win-win.
Well, yeah, because the manager is going to get fired for poor results before a player will. So, like you said, I think the situation played out perfectly. You know, the player didn't like it coming off, but, you know, that's understandable too, because obviously a player wants to play. But it worked. You know, the tactical change worked out, and he apologized, you know, after the match. So, like you said, it pretty much played out as well as it could.
Okay, outstanding. And that was the last match on Sunday. Actually, it was the only match on Sunday. It was a heavy Saturday schedule, which was odd. Probably because of Champions League type of stuff.
Yeah, because...
And probably was, actually. You know what? I've never noticed that. Do you think that had to be done on purpose, right? Everybody plays on Saturday except for one game, maybe to help out the teams in Europe.
Yeah, and I think especially coming off of the international break, too.
Yep. And then, and of course, that is a blatant shot at Chelsea because they played on Sunday because it doesn't matter. They could play on any day of the week.
Boom.
Not in Europe. Yeah.
Oh, I got it, Adele.
Okay. All right. And then that leads us to the last game of this fixture week four. And that would be in a match that you saw and I didn't. Everton. So David Moyes hosting his former club Everton, getting smashed 3-0, and the highlight there, of course, is the Lukaku hat trick in 11 minutes in the second half.
Yep, like I tweeted after he scored his third, I'm going to open up a Belgian brewery, and our triple is going to be called a Lukaku.
Ooh, nice. That's a good joke.
Yeah. Well, where's the audience? Oh, they're sleeping.
Say it again. I think they'll pay attention this time.
I'm going to open up a Belgian brewery, and our triple is going to be called a Lukaku. Yeah, there you go. Man, even Juan was laughing.
Probably. He listens. He wouldn't admit to it, but he listens.
Oh, he listens now.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Probably just to see if you'll mention him. You know what? Yeah. He might.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Do these words on the air go into some matrix that they can search?
Maybe. He might download a transcript.
Yeah, there you go. Wait, there's
transcripts? Funny enough, there are places you can do that. I've seen transcripts of our show on some websites.
I wonder how many S's they put in when I have those issues.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Like right there, issues.
Issues.
Corey's part. Sorry, guy.
Yeah. So there we go. So Everton comes in, and they're actually in really good shape too. I was looking at the table.
They're in third at the moment.
It's early yet, but yeah, they're in third with 7 points. So they're undefeated. One of the few teams. I'm looking at the thing here. So we could just run this down. There's just 4 undefeated teams, Corey. Tottenham, Everton, Chelsea, and Man City are undefeated. And we'll mention that just because you know, the Invincibles, right?
Dang it, you stole my joke. I was going to say, is it too early to maybe proclaim Everton possible Invincibles?
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
I'm guessing within 4 weeks we'll have no unbeaten teams, except for maybe City or Chelsea might be able to stay unbeaten.
No way. Everton's going 35 wins and 3 draws.
You know how crazy that would be?
It'd be pretty insane. And Lukaku's going to have like 89 goals.
Holy crap. Then he truly would be world class then.
Yeah, he'd be, well, he'd galactic class at that
galactic.
Yeah.
He's going to go hat trick the rest of the game, the season, every game.
Yeah, and then one of the guys in La Liga would still win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, that's true. That English pub league.
Because that's the way it works.
Terrible. All right, so there is your roundup. We hit every game. We don't do that often, but I thought we should this week, Corey, because we like to talk about other issues, but the ebb and flow of the season with all these international breaks quite hasn't gotten going yet. So I thought it would be very wise for us to recap the weekend.
Well, yeah, and we didn't want to have too many topics this week because, you know, we already dabbled in black magic last week. So, you know, we already, you know, messed up the whole balance of the force as it is. So, you know, we're trying to consolidate it this week.
Yeah, no, I did. We did get a lot of comments on the Gregorian chanting, both good and bad.
Yeah, well, you know, take the good, take the bad, take the both, and there you have. Anyway.
So, speaking of that, so I guess in a related note, we should talk about someone who's in the news. A true legend, Corey. A legend is back in the news in the soccer world.
Landy Cakes?
No, not Landy Cakes. We're not talking about some...
What do you mean? You said legend.
Some has-been Cambodian beach footballer.
Well, I don't understand. You can't spell legend without LD.
That's true. That is a fact. But no, I am talking about the wonder that is Francesco Totti. 39 years of old, scored a goal this weekend for Roma. It is, boys and girls, listen to this. This blows your mind. The 23rd consecutive Serie A season that he scored a goal. Think about that.
Yeah, it's near a quarter century. Quarter century, geez.
It is.
Excuse me.
He scored his first goal. Where is it? I can't even. It's not coming up now. What did I tell you? 94, 95, I think, was the first season.
Yeah, what? I was a freshman transfer to LSU when he scored his first goal in Serie A, apparently.
And here it is, yes. So 94, 95, he scored four goals.
Oh, he's terrible. Four goals. He made a living.
Yeah, he made eight appearances in Serie A in 93-94 and two in 92-93. But every year since 1994/95, he's scored 23 consecutive seasons in Serie A, which is unbelievable. And you made a good point in the pre-production about the length of the 23 years.
We'll go ahead.
Well, no, I want you to make the point.
Well, I already forgot what I said.
Okay, well, you said something to the effect of is, you know, most people don't even have careers that long, rather alone score that long.
Oh, yeah, well, right? Yeah.
I don't know. What is the average? Do we have that? You know, like in the NFL, it's like the stats say it's like the average player plays 3 or 4 years. What's the average player, the average length of time in a, you know, one of the top five European leagues for a player? It's got to be probably about that 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that I don't know because that depends on are you going by contract length or, you know, are you going by contracts? Because, you know, most people are professional technically when they're 16.
Oh, well, I mean, like making appearances, like actually playing first team football for a club.
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine it's got to be at least 5 to 6 years.
Maybe. It might be a little higher, but still. So if the average is 5 to 6, which I'm willing to agree with, how crazy is 23? Where you're productive for 23 years?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was a freshman in college then. So it's, you know, it's pretty much – you know, I was almost in high school when Totti scored his first goal. So it's pretty much my entire, you know, he's pretty much been playing my entire adult life.
Yeah, it's crazy. So just think about that. So a round of applause for a true legend.
And some would say I'm not even an adult. So there you go.
Yeah. Not the hack that's decided to come back and play for I don't know why.
Yeah. When you said legend.
Injury hate mail.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you said legend, I didn't know you meant like talking about real footballers.
Yeah. Landy Cakes wears Totti underoos.
That he does.
I would hope so.
Yeah, see, I like I said, I didn't know you meant like people in Rwanda know who Tori is. You know, they probably don't know who Landon Donovan is.
Oh, they might. Because MLS is the league of choice, of course.
Well, yeah, that was my one of my favorite tweets about Landon coming back. It's such a retirement league that even former MLS players are coming to
yes
are choosing it to come out of retirement for.
Yes.
Yeah, MLS has gone meta.
Yeah, that tweet went viral. That was a big tweet, whoever came up with that. Yeah. I know, that made me laugh quite a bit.
Yes.
MLS is a retirement league for retired MLS players. Oh, boy. Yeah, don't send your hate mail to us. We don't care. League's garbage.
Oh, yeah, you could send it.
You could send it. We'll read it and laugh.
It's going to be funny, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But we'll see what happens with that whole situation. There's people thinking, you know, we got people already clamoring for him to be called back up to the U.S. men's national team. Yeah, I'm like, what kind of fitness could this guy be in, right? He's not like he's a guy who was fit in the first place.
I was going to say, he already had fitness issues at the end of his career to begin with, much less ever sitting out for 2 years.
That's the main reason Klinsmann didn't call him in.
That's
near the end because of fitness. But now he hasn't played for a year, and now you're just going to
– 2 years.
Oh, it's been two already? Jesus.
Yeah. Well, because I looked it up. Right. Yeah, I looked it up just to be certain. And, yeah, he hasn't played a match in almost 2 years.
Yeah. So
like I said, it just goes to show you how little people actually think. It's like he had fitness issues already when he was, you know, at the end of his career. Now you add, a two-year break on top of it, and you think he's going to be international level? It's like, geez. It's like if it is, that only means how terrible we actually are.
Well, true, yeah.
But as I said, he's only coming out of retirement because he can't beat out Hat-Trick Rick on that Wells Fargo rec team.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the real story behind the story.
Hat-Trick Rick for Ballon d'Or.
Yeah. Klinsmann should call him up, too.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. So there we go. So a very eventful week. We'll monitor all those situations. I don't know what's going to happen. But let's take a look forward to the weekend, Corey. Of course, we got Champions League midweek here starting tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yes, tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow. And I don't know what the games are. It doesn't matter to me. It's Champions League. You can watch your team. Be happy. Hope they win.
Yeah, we play tomorrow.
Good luck to everybody.
That's the only one.
Okay, who's Arsenal playing?
PSG.
PSG? Oh, that's a pretty decent opening match, isn't it?
Yeah, polysodium glutamate.
Yeah. And then I just know that Spurs are playing Monaco. So we're both North London's playing French sides. But, you know, Monaco's technically not French. But you get the point.
They're Monegasque.
Is that the word for it?
Yep.
How do you know that?
Because I'm a geographer.
Well, so am I, but I've never heard that. Monegasque?
Yep, Monegasque.
So would you say you're Monegascan?
No, you're Monegasque.
Oh, you're Monegasque. I don't like that. That doesn't seem real. That's okay. I'll trust you.
I'm not sure if they care.
Okay, no, they don't because they're all rich.
Yeah, so I don't think Prince Albert or Prince Albert. Damn it. Whatever.
Prince Albert in a can?
No, he's on the roof of the Stade Louis II.
Yeah.
Because that's where they're playing surfaces.
Yeah.
I don't think Prince, what's his name, who races cars apparently cares.
No, he doesn't. All right, let's look forward to this weekend in the Premier League, boys and girls. And really the only premier match is on Friday Night Football's back.
Yeah, so go Kurt. Oh, yeah, sorry, wrong football.
Yeah, so here in the United States, be ready for your lunch hour and your late afternoon for the battle of Chelsea hosting Liverpool. On Friday.
Yeah. What kind of odds can I get that Jurgen Klopp's antics somehow make Mourinho blow up?
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. That could be really exciting to see those two interact.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what I'm hoping for this match. If I'm honest, is some managerial fireworks.
Yeah. Okay. Other matches of note, I don't know. There's not really any marquee matchups.
Or, you know, you don't have to have the tactical cam. They need to have the manager cam for this match.
Yeah, City will host Bournemouth. Leicester hosts Burnley. Arsenal will travel to Hull. That's kind of interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll probably drop points.
Watford will host Manchester United. I don't know. That might be decent. Crystal Palace and Stoke. Does that get you going? I don't know.
Oh, wait, you said Chelsea and Liverpool, huh?
Yeah, that's Friday.
Oh, yeah, then that's not going to be Mourinho.
Oh, you're right.
For some reason, I guess because of last year, my brain transplanted. Oh man, well that match just got disappointing for me. Yeah.
I didn't even catch your. Well, maybe Conte will punch Klopp.
Well, yeah. Well, if anything, they'll probably have an aerobics class. as much as they hop around.
Yeah. Okay. Southampton and Swansea. That might be interesting. They both play somewhat open football. That could be interesting. And then the last game, I know this is the late game on Sunday, is Tottenham hosting Sunderland, which is very odd for a late game.
Man, y'all are catching them at the right time, too, because they're
– Well, hopefully, right?
They look pretty poor today.
They got slaughtered, but who knows? They might look like Barcelona on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunderlandona.
You never know. So there you go. So there is your next upcoming week. Not a lot of marquee stuff, but I think it'll still be good because even this weekend wasn't marquee. But a lot of talking points, as we just outlined.
Yeah, I'm still looking to donate to that Arsenal cheat fund, that Mark Halsey alluded to with the – whatever. Hopefully that late dodgy penalty for us is the first of many, is my point.
There you go.
Like I said, I want to donate.
All right. Any other things you want to get off your chest before we roll out of here? We'll be rolling.
I don't think so. Other than, that's pretty ridiculous. Like I said, that people want Landon Donovan on the national team already.
Trust me. So the first step is him coming back, and then people will want him to be in the team, and then you'll hear the cries, he should be captain.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. When there's the first journal to write, Landy should be captain, the captain.
Captain Dadbod. Yeah, Captain Dadbod.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, but Maradona was kind of chunky.
Yeah, but Maradona was one of the freaking best players of all time. He was also on a lot of coke back then, too.
That helps.
Yes. Ma, are you on uppers?
So. Well, all right, boys and girls. Thank you for taking this trip around the grounds with us. We hope you educated you. We hope we entertained you and all that good stuff.
Or even annoyed you.
That's true. And, again, let us know at 2DAFYanks. We like to interact. So, all right, for Corey Chatelain, I'm Chad Smith.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you're fine. Saying thank you very much for listening to the 2DAFYanks podcast. We'll be back next week to break down all the action.
Good riddance, Juanito.
This has been the 2DAFYanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at 2DAFYanks.com or at 2DAFYanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the 2DAFYanks action by subscribing to the show.